You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
What is up, guys? Good Saturday afternoon. Welcome into Packers Total Access. My name is Clayton. You can check us out on Packernet.com. You can find me on Twitter at Packers_Access. And today we've got a pretty cool show set up for you guys. And obviously we got training camp going on, right? And we're going to answer an email from one of the listeners. And then on top of that, we're going to get to some live tweets from training camp. But we're going to kind of kick off the show with some sound bites, right, from yesterday, some interviews, press conferences, things like that with some of the Packers players and coaches. I think it's cool to kind of keep our ears close to those guys and kind of see what they're talking about, what they're thinking. You know, for as many reporters that like to say that they never really say anything, I think if you really pay attention, we're blessed with an organization that speaks a lot of truth. They might not give you a whole lot on the front side, but when they do talk, I really do feel like they're speaking from the heart and there's no fluff there. That's just my opinion. So we're going to kind of dive into all that. It's all about camp talk. Obviously, we got family night coming up on Friday, but I do want to mention that today's show is brought to you by mercyandme.ca. If you're looking to make a purchase for a family member and friends expecting a little one, make sure you go check out their website. It's easy to order, have stuff shipped right to your door. Everything from blankets to burp cloths to fidgets, they got you covered. So they're also big supporters of the show and of Packernet Podcast. So let's make sure that we show them some love and support them. Guys, I'm not saying go out and buy something you don't need, but I guarantee you there's somebody in your life right now, especially I'm going to talk to the men for a second. I know we got a lot of female listeners too. But I'm going to talk to the men for a second. Don't pretend like you know what you're doing when it comes to purchasing gifts just on the fly. Okay. You ain't got a clue. You're just like me, right? You're like I said the other night on Packers After Dark, you're as confused as a fart in a fan factory when it comes to trying to make a purchase for a woman or a child or, you know, parents expecting. So go to that website. They've got everything organized really, really nice where you can get what you need. And let's just make sure we're supporting those who are supporting us. All right. So with that being said, let's jump right into the show. And I think we're going to kick it off with some sound bites from some of the players and coaches from yesterday. So let's start off with Quay Walker here. And I tell you, this kid, I love just how soft-spoken Quay is and just his approach to the game. You know, sometimes people get drafted in the first round and they're all about me, me, me. And man, I deserve to be here and I've earned it and this and that. And that's all fine and good. You want to be confident. Yeah. But when you see just the look in this guy's eye, and also just the sound of his voice of how humble he is and how he wants to learn the game, I think we've got us a gem here. And he's obviously been running with the ones in that nickel defense, which is the defense against 11 personnel we're going to be in the majority of the time. So with all that being noted, let's listen to Quay Walker here for a sec, see if we can pick up on something.
I can get better. I'm not going to brag on myself. I'll let y'all do that. But just trying to get better. That's the only thing I'm trying to do. That's it.
Giving us a lot of reasons to brag on you a little bit right now. What do you think you're doing well? What do you think you need to improve on?
I think I need to improve on everything, to be honest with you. I can't wait. I can't say I'm doing well on pretty much. I don't really like to brag on myself and get the high hopes. I'm just trying to keep a level head, just stay neutral at all times. I haven't played a game yet, so just trying to go from there. Like I just said, I'm just trying to learn as much as I can and let that be it.
What do you think about the like Guardian helmet things? Have you had to wear those? You're smiling. What is that? Does that mean you don't like those?
I kind of don't, but at the same time, if it helps us from injuries or whatever the case may be, I'm with it. I don't have any say, so I'm a rookie anyway, so I do whatever I'm told, I just do it. That's the only thing it is.
Some guys are saying like you can feel that weight.
Yeah, you can. It can make your helmet kind of heavy a little bit just by having that on, but that's about it. Ain't too bad. It's nothing to just, it's all right.
I love it. So obviously he was asked a question about the Guardian caps that the players are wearing in training camp. And if you guys aren't aware, basically some foam that wraps around the outside of the helmet. And Pat McAfee show had the chief medical officer for the NFL on his show there on Thursday or Friday. And they were kind of talking about the guardian caps and how it reduces concussions. And obviously, you know, it's something that's a big deal. And I'm one of those guys, first of all, I don't want this to turn into a medical talk. Obviously, you hear my accent, and you're like, I'm not taking any medical advice from this hick, right? But when it comes to concussions, I was the fan that was like, man, they're ruining the game. They're taking all the hits out. I was that macho guy. And then I watched the movie Concussion. And if you guys haven't seen it, whether you're a Will Smith fan or not, it's my, you know, it's my understanding they told the story really, really accurate. And when you hear the story of patient zero there, Mike Webster with the Pittsburgh Steelers back in the day, and just see the negative effects of concussions, it really opened my eyes. I mean, there's not many movies that I've watched that I've cried like a baby, and I cried like a baby watching that movie, because, you know, it's, you know, most of these players, they're just trying to earn a check for their family, and then when it's all over and the damage is done, that's when they start to realize, holy cow, I've ruined my life, you know. So I think it's something that should be taken important, or taken serious rather. But I love Quay Walker's approach to everything, man. He just seems like a leader. The guy is as humble as they come, and I'm telling you right now, more people will follow someone who's humble than they will a loud mouth. You know, I always say the loudest person in the room has the least amount to say. And you can just tell Quay Walker is just like this snake, hot. He's just lying in the weeds. And I'm telling you, I think that when football starts, he's going to flash, and people are going to look at him, and it's going to be this humble leader. You know, you've seen that with the linebacker in Carolina there with Luke Kuechly, right? You've seen it with A.J. Hawk too. A.J. Hawk was one of those guys that you couldn't get him to say two words in a microphone. But by George, when it came on the field, it was like he played with his hair on fire. And in my opinion, he's one of the most underappreciated Packer players in the history of the game. Obviously, the all-time leading tackler for the Packers. But the thing that stood out from him the most was film study and the fact that he always played hurt. He always put his body on the line for his teammates. And you will not hear one teammate say anything negative about A.J. Hawk. And it's the reason I've got his jersey. I don't like to buy jerseys of players that are real flashy. I don't like to, you know, I'm not the guy that goes out and buys the wide receiver jersey. I'm not the guy that goes out and buys the quarterback jersey, right? I like the linebackers. I like the running backs, the guys who are doing the grunt work. Now, it's hard to make a smart purchase when it comes to that type of stuff, simply because, you know, most of the time, you want to get a jersey that obviously, you know, is going to be of a player that is going to be around for a while, and someone who's going to represent the organization in the right way for a long time, right? Sometimes when you pick a linebacker or a running back, they don't last that long. So I'm not saying you should just go out and buy a jersey of those positions just because it's that position. It's just I tend to gravitate towards those players. And when A.J. Hawk got on the backside of his career, I was like, yeah, he's going to go down as one of the best Packers ever, in my opinion. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but I do think he's a Packer Hall of Famer. I mean, you're not the all-time leading tackler and basically the quarterback on defense for a defense that was ranked in the top three, if not the best defense in the league at the time, and lead them to a Super Bowl without being a great player and a Packer Hall of Famer. So Quay Walker kind of reminds me of that. And the fact that he's not stepping on Devondre Campbell's toes. We talked about Devondre Campbell's contract. Devondre Campbell's contract is a 2 to 3 year deal from the team's standpoint. Now, if he plays well, they'll keep him around the full 5 years, right? But the Packers did a great job structuring that contract in a way that they're not handcuffed. You know, for all the people that just want to talk about the negative contracts with the Green Bay Packers roster, it's funny they don't mention the positive ones, right? They don't mention the structure of Rasul Douglas's 3-year deal where the Packers can get out after 1 year. They don't mention Devondre Campbell's where they can get out basically in 2 to 3 years and have minimal penalties. It's funny how that doesn't get mentioned. But with that being said, you could just tell Quay Walker's not stepping on Devondre's toes, and Devondre Campbell is a monster in this defense, which I'm really excited to see what he does this year. We're going to learn a lot about Devondre Campbell after he got the bag and obviously have one great year. We're going to see if he's the real deal or not, and I personally think he is, and I think Quay Walker's got someone great to learn from there. So let's move on to the Matt LaFleur soundbite here, and he's talking about one of my favorite players in Aaron Jones.
Wouldn't you like to know?
I would.
Yeah, I think it's probably more just in an emergency situation. So, you know, Aaron's been great, man. He's going to the majority of the special teams meetings, and really, you can feel his presence. Here's a veteran guy that's accomplished a lot. He scored a lot of touchdowns, and to have him be a part of that, I mean, it leaves nobody can say really anything when a guy like that is in there. Guys like him, Devondre Campbell, they kind of set the tone.
Now, what are those conversations with Rich like, though? Because on one side, you do want to use more starters. On the other side, you lost one of your stud running backs to a broken rib in the playoff game while he was on a special team. So how do you kind of figure out where the line is there?
Yeah, sometimes, unfortunately, that's a price of doing business. And we're going to put whoever out there that's going to give us the best chance to win. And it's going to be pretty fluid, I would say, throughout the course of the preseason. But ultimately, yeah, we're going to have to develop some guys and get guys ready to go. And but I don't know if you guys can feel it, but there certainly is a purpose and intensity out there when we go to those periods.
Love it. Okay, so, you know, one of the reporters asked there on the follow-up about Aaron Jones and, you know, it kind of what's the concern around potential injuries on special teams. And I love how he answered it. It's kind of that Bill Belichick approach. You know, when people – it's amazing how when you don't play your best players in certain situations, the media tends to say, well, why don't you have your best players on the field if it's a problem? And then when someone gets hurt, it's why did you have your best players on the field to get them hurt, right? And Bill Belichick answered a question one time. He said, listen, if you can tell me which play they're going to get hurt, I'll take them off the field before it happens. Basically what he said was shut up, right? Like stop pretending like we know and understand and you know and understand when a player is going to get hurt. You've got to put your best players out there. You got to roll the dice and say, look, we're going to bring 110% day in and day out with our best players on the field. And if somebody gets hurt, they get hurt. There's nothing you can do about it. There's no way of predicting. I mean, you see them out there with the guardian caps on, like, you know, Quay was just asked about. You see all the precautionary measures that the chief medical officer for the National Football League, they're taking, and all the data and all that, you know, they're designing helmets and they're tracking the results of each individual helmet. And they're providing that information to the players to say, hey, look, you know, this helmet right here reduced concussions by 30% more than the one you're wearing. Would you like to switch? Oh, you don't want to switch? Okay, it's your decision. Like they're doing everything they can to prevent this. But at the end of the day, you got to go play football. And you can't look back with, you know, hindsight and say, well, that player shouldn't have been on the field or that player should have been on the field, right? You're going to hear a lot of talk about this as we get into the first preseason game next week against the 49ers, because it's going to be Aaron Rodgers didn't play. Well, didn't they learn anything from last year? Or it's going to be that player got hurt on the field. Why was he out there? It's just amazing how there's always going to be an argument from one of those two sides, right? And you can't worry about that as an organization, as a coaching staff, as a player. You just got to go out and play hard. You know, one of the things A.J. Hawk talks about all the time is you can't play 50%. If you're on the field, you've got to go 100%. The second that you start to tone it back, you know, 70 to 50%, you're going to get hurt because your body's not used to that. The muscle memory's not used to that. And that's when mistakes are made. But I just love how Matt LaFleur talked about Aaron Jones being a leader. And he wants to be out there. And really what it does is it removes the excuses for everyone else on the team. When you've got Aaron Jones on special teams and you got Devondre Campbell doing special teams reps, there's not a player in that locker room that can go, well, I don't think I should be out there. If they are, here's a tip. There's a freaking door. Go play for somebody else, right? We've just got a great circle as far as leaders are concerned. In the Packers locker room, and very, very fortunate to have Aaron Jones and Devondre Campbell and some of these players that are willing to put it on the line, you know, Randall Cobbs, those type of guys. So another leader that comes to mind for me is Rashawn Gary. Rashawn Gary has really embraced this role with the Packers, and going from a player that was drafted in the first round and everybody criticized the draft pick, including myself, pretending like I knew more than the team. That's why you hear me have a lot more conservative approach when we do our draft coverage. For me to sit and pretend like I understand more than what the scouting department, all the scouts, the boots on the ground, the leaders in the front office that are kind of directing these scouts, right? Brian Gutekunst did it for years. And then Brian Gutekunst himself, I'm going to sit here as a fan and pretend like I understand scouting more than those guys. That's just silly, right? So I think it's important to listen, especially to people like Rashawn Gary, because we all were wrong on it. And the organization knew exactly what they were doing. And here you've got a guy that came in as kind of a surprise first round pick in most people's eyes. Anyone who says it wasn't a surprise to them is just lying. I'm sorry. But he had this bag of raw talent, and then he didn't produce his first year, which is always surprising to me that fans and media members, a select group of them, not everybody, not you. I know I'm just kind of speaking in general. They like to look at a first round pick and go, oh, he's going to have an immediate impact. That typically doesn't happen. But if you bring a player along in the right manner, they can kind of develop and earn their stripes, earn their teammates' respect, learn the game without making a ton of mistakes on the fly that's going to hurt their confidence. And then what you have on the backside is a byproduct of a player like Rashawn Gary. And let's hear from him right now.
What's your mentality been like entering this 2022 season?
Get better day by day. Don't leave no stones unturned. And, just trying to pick my game, man. I'm on the road to being great. That's my destination. That's where I want to go. So just trying to put everything I can to do that.
During the last few days, when you're so close to, like, getting that sack, but obviously you guys don't have pads on, you're doing the run
so through. Close, I'm getting it.
Do you feel like, oh, I just wish I could?
Oh, no, that's 12. I don't want to touch 12 at all. And just knowing the type of quarterback he is, when I run by him, he has the ball a little bit. I think, in a game-like situation, I'd be a sack. But, man, I'm just trying to work my craft.
Rashawn, something that LaFleur said the other day, he said you're a practice wrecker, and one of the things that he hopes the new offensive line doesn't lose their confidence. How do you make sure that you're still showing what you can do, but also helping that offensive line understand what it's like to kind of get to play against the greats in this league?
Just doing what I do. And I give them tips. Royce asked me a couple questions. 50 was asking me a couple questions. So, just trying to tell them what I'm seeing and, just give them the best I can every day. So when it comes season, it can be easy for them.
What does that feel like to be a leader of a team, but to have young offensive players asking you what they can do better to make sure that they can protect their quarterback?
It don't feel like nothing, man. I'm just used to it. I'm just trying to, like I said, trying to bring the young guys along and bring, the older guys along and keep the same tempo and show them what it is to be a Green Bay Packer like I was for sure before.
Love it. Love it. Absolutely love it, man. The guy has developed into such a leader, and I love his approach there. He was kind of asked, what's it like working with the offensive line? You're out there to beat them, but at the same time, are you looking to help them? And that's a really good question by that reporter. Kudos to whoever asked that. And all of these clips, guys, comes courtesy of Packers.com. I want to give them a shout out. Special thanks for providing this coverage. But it's kind of like Ryan was talking about on his podcast the other day. When you have Jair Alexander come into the league as a very young player and be able to go up against a Davante Adams on a daily basis, it's going to make him better, right? And now it's amazing. Tay's gone. He went on to Vegas, right? And he has that right. No hard feelings. The guy earned every penny that he got and earned the right to play for his hometown crowd or his childhood, favorite team. And he said his grandma's going to be able to go to the games now. I think all that's a plus. There doesn't have to be hard feelings on every roster move that happens with the Packers. Now, some of them, don't get me wrong, Za'Darius Smith, yeah, I hope he falls on his face this year. I don't wish injury on anybody, but I hope he comes out and plays flat, right? I really do, just to shut him up. And it was kind of the same thing with Greg Jennings. Hated to see it. But at the same time, you had, Davante Adams going up against a young Jair Alexander, making him better. And now Tay's gone, but the reps that he got against Tay over the years made him into this superstar cornerback. He got the bag this year with the huge contract extension. Well, now you've got Jair Alexander going up against some of these unproven wide receivers on the Packers roster. So now Jair is making the receivers better. You understand? I mean, it's just so cool. It's an aspect that doesn't get talked about much when it comes to everyday practice, not just training camp, but throughout the season. These guys are going to make these receivers better. And I love what Ryan said. Someone else was talking about it as well. I think Ryan said it in his pod. Let's get Dobbs on Jair Alexander, man. Let's get him out there and get him tested, battle tested early. Let's see if we've actually got something here, right? And, you know, all accounts coming out of training camp, and I'm excited to get to the tweets here in a minute and see kind of what's going on in practice today. But everything's pointing to Romeo Doubs having a good camp, and it's early. I mean, we haven't even put pads on. And we want to refer back to what, you know, Aaron Rodgers said in his very first presser. There's going to be a lot of people talking about these guys are superstars in shorts. And let's just take a deep breath. Let everything unfold. There's going to be players that are hyped too much, and there's going to be players that aren't hyped enough, and they're going to make mistakes, and they're going to be made out to be horrible players, and they're going to turn out to be huge contributors. I'll tell you one that comes to mind is Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams in his first camp, he flashed, and everybody was like, wow, this kid is – he may be special. And then lo and behold, his first two seasons, he has a drop issue, and then it turns into he's a bust, get him out of here, cut him. There's Packer fans saying cut him. I don't care, he's a second-round pick, get him out of here. And then look what he developed into, right? That's what Aaron's referring to. But when it comes to Rashawn Gary, he's helping the offensive line. He said, I'm giving those guys tips. Guys, this young offensive line – and even the veterans are going to benefit from Rashawn Gary stepping into that elite level. And let's hope he does take another step and kind of, you know, stabilize that. The fact that he was acknowledged now by PFF and other sources that, hey, this is an up and coming, you know, superstar emerging edge defender. I personally think he's already there, but it's going to be nice to put together another season of that and stay healthy. And what he's going to do is, you know, when he's going up against a Yosh Nijman who might be lining up at right tackle or even playing left tackle, a rookie Zach Tom, that's my understanding, he's back on the field again today. So he's looking good. He's healthy, playing left tackle against, you know, a Preston Smith and some of these edge defenders that are going to be testing him. Rashawn Gary is going to be giving those guys tips throughout camp, and they're there to make each other better. And I think that's absolutely huge, and it's not talked about enough. I think it's something that's very, very important. So Rashawn Gary stepping into his role as a leader. Za'Darius is now off the team. Rashawn has that platform to step up on defense along with Devondre Campbell, Jaire Alexander, Adrian Amos, and go, hey, look, we're the leaders of this defense, and they're all about helping the offensive players get better as well. I think that's really, really important. So let's do this. Let's move along. Let me check the time real quick, make sure we're doing okay. Oh, yeah, we're making great time. Okay, cool. We're going to go on to a listener email real quick, and then that's going to lead into a Randall Cobb soundbite, okay? So this comes from Andy Monday, and let me get my timer off the screen here. There we go. He said, hi, Clayton. I hope you and your family are not in flood danger. I know we love to talk Packers, but more important matters come up in life all the time. Yeah, first of all, the floods back home has been devastating. You guys know I'm from Harlan County, Kentucky. And obviously, there's a couple of counties that border there with Letcher and Perry. I say obviously, like you guys know where this is. This is in the middle of nowhere. I'm just telling you right now, it's backwoods. It's where I was born and raised. It's home. Some great people there that get a bad reputation, and doctors taking advantage of people there in the area with the opioid crisis and all that, overprescribing. You guys know, trying to get too personal on this podcast, but I lost my mother 2 years ago to opioid overdose. Actually, it was a fentanyl overdose. And I watched that woman work her entire life to provide for her family and break her body down. Had a couple knee replacements. Doctors overprescribed her, got her hooked on meds. And it's something that just scares me to death, especially with the youth in our country right now. Of all the problems we're dealing with as a society, that's one thing. We should be able to trust doctors. And it's a shame what they're doing to overprescribe and do it in the name of making a dollar for the pharmaceutical industry. But I lost her to an overdose, and it was an addiction battle she battled for so long. It's why you don't hear me talk about partying and things like that. I was raised in a house where drugs and alcohol was all around me. I had great parents, don't get me wrong, but it was a biker family. It was quite normal for me to be around in the middle of a biker party of anywhere from 200 to 500 bikers in a biker gang, and, you know, just 6-7 years old running around. I'm not bragging about that, but I'm also not trying to bash my upbringing. I wouldn't trade it for anything. It made me the person I am today. But back home right now, it's rough with the floods. So everybody got hammered back home. There was multiple deaths being reported. Tons of people still missing. Actually had a buddy drop by the house today. He grew up in Letcher County, Kentucky, and he was going over to help out, went and, you know, purchased about $2,000 worth of materials, generators, stuff like that. And we, were able and blessed to kick in a large chunk just to kind of help fund it. He loaded up the truck and the trailer, taking it over and providing them relief today. I couldn't make it because we had stuff to take care of here at home. But anyway, Andy, thank you for acknowledging that. I really appreciate it, man. Anyway, here's what he said. Let me get to the Packers stuff. I apologize for getting sidetracked. It's hard when you grow up seeing people you care about struggling like that. But it says, this little Packers story might enlighten the mood, though. Back in the early 90s, Don Hutson was being interviewed, and the topic of NFL receiving rules came up. The interviewer pointed out some new rules in which pass interference and contact restrictions on defensive backs had been greatly increasing the passing game. So he asked Hutson, quote, if you were playing in today's league, how many catches do you think you'd have with such favorable rules? Hutson replied, oh, I'd say about 50. Surprised, the interviewer wondered why only 50, since players like Sterling Sharp and Chris Carter both recently eclipsed 100 receptions in one season. Hutson, with a small smile, responded, but keep in mind, however, I'm over 80 years old now. I love it. Andy Monday says, I've enjoyed hearing the good receiver news thus far in training camp and any Rashawn Gary tweets. See you later. All right, Andy, thank you for the email. We really appreciate it, man. And like I said, thank you for the kind words from my peeps back home. I really, really appreciate that. So that leads us into a Randall Cobb soundbite from yesterday. Let's play this. Here's what Randall Cobb had to say on Romeo Doubs when he was asked about Romeo and his early flashes, just in a 2-3 practices they've had so far.
You've been in this league a long time. What can Romeo Doubs be?
What can he be? I think that nobody knows the ceiling just yet. He has a lot of intangibles. He has a lot of special gifts, and that's potential. And I think we all know potential is one thing, but seeing it out, and I think that just goes with time. It's going to take us a little bit of time to really figure out just how good he can be. But he has the pieces, and we never want to set too high of expectations on people. But I think he's shown some flashes, and yeah, he continues to be consistent with that. That'll be great for us.
When you say the pieces, is there anything that stands out to you that you kind of feel like, okay, yeah, what are those pieces?
I think the biggest piece is just his ability with the 50-50 ball. When it's just thrown up and it's between him and a DB to go up and make a play, that's one thing you can't coach. You can't really teach that. You either have it or you don't. And he has it, and that's special. That's just a piece, though. There's a lot that goes into making this team and then being on this field and making the 53 and making an impact. But he has the tools. It's just on himself and on me and our receiver group to continue to kind of mold him and kind of build him and help him realize what he has. And I think I've been very impressed with him so far since I've been here, both him and Christian. Obviously, Christian isn't out there with us right now, but I've been very impressed by both of them. Just the way that they come in and their willingness to learn and their willingness to pick up the offense and the dedication that they show. It's been great to see, but there's a lot more that comes with that. So
I love it. All right. So Randall Cobb, obviously they're talking about Romeo Doubs and kind of did a little name drop also for our boy Christian Watts. Christian obviously been very, very limited on what he's done outside of OTAs. He's dealing with some kind of injury, it sounds like. I don't know all the details there. I probably should be a little more educated on it. But talking about Doubs, and he said, 50-50 balls are the things that stood out to him the most, and you can't coach that. What's great about that is when a receiver shows intangibles of things that you can't coach, and that's Randall Cobb's words, not mine. And first of all, when everybody scoffed at Aaron Rodgers not being around for the entire offseason, but Randall Cobb was there every day, and he kept saying, Randall's there working with the guys, and he's kind of an extension of me. And what is wrong with that? Like, I never understood why people were being negative about that. Like, this is a guy who's got the work ethic. If you guys seen the last game he played at Lambeau before he left, in free agency, the way that he teared up and broke down on the sidelines, he did not want to leave this place. And he obviously has a love for the community. He has a love for the Packers. He has a love for from an organizational standpoint. He loves how they operate. Him and Aaron have a great relationship. He's gelled well with Matt LaFleur. Randall Cobb is just, I don't know. I couldn't think of another player, another person to help Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs kind of step into being professionals than Randall Cobb. And I think that him singing praise over things that can't be coached is huge, because the other stuff that he might not be doing as well are coachable attributes. I think that could be very, very important. Now let's see what Jason Vrabel can do as a wide receivers coach. And passing game coordinator, if I understood correctly, was his promotion. Let's see if he can get the most out of Dobbs. Now, by drafting Dobbs, you know, what's great about that is, you know, you go out and you get Dobbs, you get Samori Toure, you obviously take Christian Watson. This is how you fill a need. You know, a lot of teams will just take one stab at it and go, all right, let's, you know, a lot of the media were saying trade up in the first round and take one wide receiver. That is just silly. If you've got a multitude of wide receivers that are clustered together on your horizontal draft board, and you guys heard me talk about that in the offseason, then take multiple swings. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. If they had put all their eggs in just the Christian Watson basket and done like that idiot that wrote the article that Ryan, you know, read on his show, where he basically said they were trying to be cute rather than trade up and make sure they got Christian Watson, they were trying to be cute and wait to get him. You give up all that draft collateral, right? And then all of a sudden, or draft capital, I'm sorry. And all of a sudden you draft one wide receiver. Now Christian Watson's in the tub, right? You can't make the club in the tub. You darn sure ain't going to get better being injured. That would be their only egg in the basket. And everybody be like, what are we going to do with receiver? Instead, you took multiple swings, and here you've got Romeo Dobbs that's kind of separating himself. It doesn't mean he's going to be a superstar. It doesn't even mean he's going to contribute this year. But it just gives you an example. We would have none of that hype right now if they had done what that idiot that wrote the article said to do and stop being cute and just put all your eggs in one basket and go get the guy that you think's best. It's just – it's amazing how people just look at things different than what, you know, the front office does, and one that's obviously been successful for so long. JJ Leahy retweeted something out earlier on Twitter that was amazing. It was a graphic showing all of the teams that took, you know, first round wide receiver, tight end, and running backs. And the Packers were way down at the bottom. And it's like, yeah, they, and like JJ said, I guess this explains why the Packers haven't had any success since 2002. It's like, I'm sorry, you guys have heard me talk about it too. It's like wide receiver is a tier two position, in my opinion. And it's not even a high tier two position. You know, that top tier on offense, left tackle, quarterback, right? That's my opinion. And center is right up there towards the top two. Okay. So wide receiver is just not one of those positions that I put that much emphasis on. It's important, obviously. You know, it's a pass-driven league and all that. But at the same time, man, you got to pick your spots, take multiple swings, because you like all of these guys you're willing to draft. How many times have we looked back and go, how did they miss that one? They drafted at that same position. How did they miss it? A lot of people are saying that about Rashawn Gary right now, right? So it's just important. But here's a good spot to take a break. Let's get this in real quick, and then we're going to get to some live tweets from camp, and we'll get you guys out of here and get this podcast, obviously, in your hands as quick as possible. But first, let's pay some bills, take us a quick commercial break.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Okay, let's do this, guys. Let's get right down to it. And let's look at some live tweets that's going on right now at Packers Camp. And I'm going to try to refresh these so we get the most up-to-date information. I'm going to lead off here with Matt Schneidman. and see what he's got for us. He's one of my favorite follows on Twitter. You guys know the reason I like Matt Schneiman is because he doesn't play the political game. You know, he just kind of brings you the information that you want. That's why we're here, is to talk football. And so here it was 3 hours ago, said Matt LaFleur says using Aaron Jones as kick returner in practice has just worked for an emergency scenario. Praise Jones for attending all special teams meetings, but it doesn't seem running back one will be back there when it matters. And that's what we were talking about earlier with the soundbite. It's very, very important. Create that culture. I think it's awesome that he's been in all the special teams meetings because he wants to contribute. Also, here's another tweet by Matt Schneiman. It says, Sammy Watkins will not participate in team drills today, only individual, as Packers ease him back in. He'll be back in team periods next week. So that's a good sign. When you first read that tweet, you think, uh-oh, what happened? Nothing happened. They were being cautious. They worked him into the rotation. Now they took him back out, and he's doing individual drills, which he's still practicing. He's not standing on the sideline hurt with any ice on any extremity, right? He's good to go. And then they're going to ease him back in next week. And I think it's next week when they start doing shells and then full pads. But got a video here showing Rashawn. It says Rashawn Gary leads the brigade to practice this morning. Pretty cool. And then let's slide on up here. This was just an hour ago. Rookie Zach Tom back at left tackle one today. So it's Zach Tom at left tackle, John Runyon at left guard, Josh Myers at center, Royce Newman at right guard today, and they got Josh Nijman at right tackle. So you've seen Newman play some right tackle. You've obviously seen Nijman play in the past left tackle, but they're really giving Zach Tom a push at left tackle. Guys, that is great news. Like, this is what I'm talking about. You got to kind of read between the lines. I'm not looking for any kind of report saying Zach Tom just pancaked Preston Smith, right? I'm looking at who does the coaching staff see as the top left tackle right now? Who are they giving those very, very, very valuable reps to? And Ryan Schlipp is grinning ear to ear. He probably looks like a slit watermelon right now with Zach Tom playing a little more left tackle. That's great news. Matt Schneiman 1 hour ago said, stop me if you've heard this before, but Romeo Doubs reels in a deep ball through contested coverage. Jordan Love rode out to his left and flung one deep across the field to Doubs, who held on through the hand of safety Sean Davis. Big cheer from a packed house. So practice packed out again. Romeo Doubs is out there mossing people again today. Guys, we're starting to see a trend now, right? This is you heard Randall Cobb, 50-50 balls are uncoachable, right? Not me. That was Randall Cobb that said that. Maybe he's gassing his boy up. I don't know, but he's got me excited. I think that's awesome. And the thing that that's really making me grin like a slit watermelon is, Jordan Love rode to his left and flung one deep across the field to Doubs. Jordan Love is having a good camp from everything I've read so far. I heard somebody saying the other day, you know, he makes a ton of throws. It seems like there's just one play a game or one play a practice where you're like, God, it was either a wobbler or inaccurate, whatever. But Jordan Love showing a little bit of flashes, man. I you guys know how I stand on Jordan Love. I'm not saying he's going to be great. I'm not saying he's going to be bad. What I'm saying is anyone who pretends like they know what Jordan Love is at this point is just they're either hating on him or they're gassing him up for no reason. That's just my opinion. So rookie kicker Gabe, I cannot say his last name, Berkick, I guess, Brickick, is 0 for 2 now. Wide left from 45 on the left hash, wide right from 47 on the right hash. Mason Crosby still sidelined with a knee injury. As you guys know, I wish there'd be a little more context there, but Mason Crosby had his knee scoped. So pretty minor, you know, procedure there. I think he'll probably be fine, but sounds like the rookie kicker is not performing well in camp, which I don't think anybody expected him to come out like gangbusters, right? So Matt Schneiman here says, we're not allowed to tweet exact quotes from coaches or players during practice, but sorry about that, little interruption there. We're not allowed to tweet exact quotes from coaches or players during practice, but let's just say Rich Bisaccia is going to bang some heads if Amari Rodgers fair catches another punt. So we're not allowed to tweet exact quotes from coaches or players during practice. But let's just say Rich Bisaccia is going to bang some heads if Amari Rodgers fair catches another punt. So not a good sign for Amari Rodgers, and it sounds like they're giving him every opportunity in the world, but Rich Bisaccia is taking no crap right now at training camp. And Matt Schnaiman's last tweet we have here, score another one for the chumps today. Rodgers having little time in the pocket during move the ball period. Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith blowing up plays in the backfield. So it looks like those guys are back on track to have another big year. You love to hear it. Again, it's just practice, just training camp, but it's better than the alternative as far as, getting updates from training camp. I kind of like doing this, man. I hate that it's a lot of kindas and uhs and likes that I'm throwing here into the mic, but at the same time, it's pretty cool to be able to be in a position today where we can kind of give you some light there. It went again, right? Where we can get you some live information as we go. I'm going to jump over to Andy Herman real quick and kind of talk about some of his, and we're just going to go within the last hour and let's see if there's any parallels drawn here. Man, my man is on fire here. This may take a second. Let me check the clock, make sure we're okay. We're sitting good. All right, let's wrap it up here with Andy Herman's tweets and see what he's got here. So, and has a lot of tweets in the last hour. Here we go. With full disclosure that I have no idea medically what it should look like, Kylin Hill to the untrained eye looks phenomenal moving and cutting. I'd have no idea he was coming off an ACL, still rehabbing on the side for sure. So it sounds, or for now, so it looks like Kylin Hill, according to Andy Herman, is looking really, really good on the sideline. Doesn't look like there's much restriction. That sounds a lot like how I said Elgton Jenkins looked the other day when he was doing some of those drills, running back and forth, that type of thing. So, all right. Up next, Zach Tom back at left tackle with the ones today. So just confirming it's Tom, John Runyon, Myers, Newman, and Yash on the starting offensive line. Andy Herman, what can't he do? Dobbs just did some lead blocking for Aaron Jones, almost out of an H-back look. Great rep by Jerron Reed, meanwhile, who handled Zach Tom and made a stop in the backfield. So Jerron, here's multiple things on this tweet here. You've got Dobbs playing H-back with the chicanery, right? And then you've got Jerron Reed blowing up Zach Tom to get a stop in the backfield. So score one positive mark for Dobbs that they're, putting him in multiple positions like that. Score one positive mark for Jerron Reed, but give us a negative to Zach Tom. Sorry, Ryan. Ryan's going to go burn his Zach Tom jersey now. Jordan Love, with his longest completion to camp, and it was to Romeo Dobbs. Dobbs had a couple steps, but he had to wait up for it a bit. Still a big play rolling out to his left for Love and Dobbs. Kid is unreal. Okay, so that tells a little bit different story from Schneidman's. It sounds like that ball might have been underthrown a little bit by Jordan Love. Again, you're probably splitting hairs there. But the one consistent, Romeo Dobbs, keeps on flashing. Up next, it says, Enagbare, double-teamed and washed out of his gap on a run. I've had a lot of questions about him. I think he has a bright future ahead of him, but it's going to need some time. And as I'm typing this, he just drew a would-be holding call on Canella. Okay, so obviously, Enagbare, however you say his name, people are still confused about it. We do have Dobbs confirmed now from a tweet, and we really appreciate that. That is how you say Romeo's name. It is Dobbs, but we still are in the dark about Enagbare, Enagbare. I've always called him Enagbare. I think that's close enough, so I'm going to say Enagbare moving forward. But anyway, his weakness has always been playing the run. You can see that in the college tape. But could really rush off the edge well. But you got to keep in mind what we talked about. The college game is so much different than the pros. You've got the hash marks are designed and very, very beneficial to edge defenders when you're playing that wide nine look. What I mean by wide nine, guys, we're talking technique. Really, really simple. I don't ever want to just throw this stuff at you as coach speak like I'm just way smarter than somebody else. I want to try to help people understand what I mean when I say these things. These are things that I've read in books over the years and learning and just film study and things like that. Zero technique is lining up right at the nose over the center. Okay. So think of this. Every offensive lineman has a number attached to them. The center is zero. Okay. The guards are two and the tackles are four. Okay. So if you're lined up right over the tackle, it's a four technique. If you're lined up right over the center, it's a zero technique. Over the guard, it's a two technique, right? So it's 0-2-4, okay? Now, every technique in between, which would be the A-gap left and the A-gap right, would be a one technique. So think of it this way. If you're lined up directly over an offensive lineman, it's an even number. If you're not over the offensive lineman, it's an odd number. So when you look at it that way, you've basically got 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. However, a wide nine technique is way outside, on the outside shoulder of a tight end that might be lined up in line. Okay. That's something that Enig Bar did really, really well in college, is those five and wide nine techniques. And obviously playing the run is not his game, but this is where you want to find it, right? This is where you want to learn about this stuff, is in camp. And it kind of looks like that everything that our buddy Sam Holman has talked about from film study, you know, and other people, it's kind of showing up here in camp that he is more of a pass rush specialist. And when I say specialist, I really want to curb the enthusiasm there, because that doesn't mean he's going to be a great pass rusher. It just means that's definitely his strength. So here we go again. Dobbs working with the ones, twos, threes, doesn't matter. He keeps coming up with catches. A nice catch on a slant from Etling there. Offense has had two fumbles on failed snap exchanges. Rodgers wasn't happy with that one. Awesome. So you got Dobbs showing back up, but there are some problems with the exchange. And I guarantee you, Myers, if he is the center when that happens, Rodgers is eating his lunch. Next tweet from Andy Herman. Amos with a near pick of Rodgers. Pressure by Preston forced the throw. Pressure picks, coverage sacks, guys, right? Pressure picks, pressures lead to picks. Coverage leads to sacks. Amos quickly out to stop a quick pass to Amari. Amos flying around the field early. We all know, if you listen to this podcast, you know we absolutely love Adrian Amos. He is a beast. The entire starting defense is on the field goal block unit. That's new. So it looks like they've got the entire starting defense on the field goal block unit. That is freaking awesome. Same group of players with the ones today as yesterday. Dave for Zach Tom with the ones, and CVL Colvin Lennon, I guess, with the twos seems to be the only change. Really nice patience and recognition by Zach Tom picking up a stunt up front. So Zach Tom showing a little flash there, picking up a stunt, still playing left tackle. Let's see here. Number one defense, very sticky in coverage so far today. Not much for Rodgers to find down the field. So it looks like the defense is answering that call that he put out to the DBs the other day, kind of talking a little trash after they owned them in practice. Here's Wes Hodkowitz that Andy Herman retweeted. Says, I like what I've seen from Tom at left tackle today. Looks stout, balanced against Green Bay's ones. So this rookie left tackle, Zach Tom, is holding up against our number one edge defenders. That's great news. Romeo Dobbs with the first reps at punt return. Coach is right. You can feel a different intensity on teams. Players look much more almost excited when team portion starts. So, okay. And the very next play is a fair catch. LOL. All right. First extended punt period of camp. And Pat O'Donnell averages 4.43 seconds of hang time and only had one sub 4.0 time. So Pat O'Donnell looking pretty decent at punter. You guys know we brung him in for holding mainly, but we want him to be able to boom that ball and get that hang time as well. Jordan Love with some zip on an out route to Torre. Short game, but nice read and throw. Good stuff there from Love, another positive. Offense has been a bit sloppy today, a couple fumbles and false starts. You heard him talking about that earlier. Rico Gafford with a nice pass breakup on a pass attempt from Love to Hyman. Defense looks fantastic today. Pressure, run stuffing, sticky coverage, showcasing the full potential today. In an Agbar with the rep with the ones, great pressure by Preston, and a wounded duck ball falls mercifully incomplete before Amos could get to it. Offense finally gets some going with a Texas route from Rodgers to Dillon. Got the rookie Walker on that one. So there you see A.J. Dillon burning rookie Quay Walker on a Texas route. If you guys don't know what a Texas route is, that's an old West Coast design where the running back comes out of the field. He looks like he's going to kind of go to the flat. It's very sharp. He's going to angle outside and then cut it right back inside on a slant route. Sometimes I've heard people call halfback circle routes Texas routes, even a halfback in routes Texas routes. It's basically the design is get the inside linebackers flowing out like you're going to the flat and then do a sharp cut back in across the middle underneath. You probably got some kind of a post or other route combination that's stretching the defense over the top, if you will. So, all right, there. Rashawn Gary is an absolute monster. No additional info needed, just flat out stud. We know it. We love it, right? Start getting used to the Etling to Hyman connection. Unstoppable on that slant. Stand up, KB and Into Hive. Really nice job sticking with the play and breaking up a pass along the sidelines. Etling throws one up, should have been picked by Levitt. But Osiris Mitchell plows right through him for a would-be offensive pass interference. Rico Gafford has been showing up today. That's his third forced incompletion in coverage. Wow. Meanwhile, a nice pass rush from Devontae Wyatt. Let's move right along. All right, we're coming down to the last minute here, and we're going to have to knock this off. We're running out of time, guys. Tough to tell if runs will be blown dead or not. But Dylan just broke a nice run up field. Looks like he thought he would have been gone, working in two-minute drill right now. Another false start by the offense. Looks like Winfrey this time. So there's a negative mark for Winfrey. Sorry, Jacob. I know that's your boy. Levitt and Shamar getting some reps with the ones on defense in the two-minute drill. This says Levitt and Shamar getting some reps. Okay, so he went back on that and said, as in an Agbar. Just correcting there. And then it says, okay, Shamar, a huge pick in the end zone to end the two-minute drills, covering Cobb on the play. Huge play for him. So you got Shamar, you know, Ryan talked about him being the number four corner at the moment. He's showing some flashes. So, all right, guys, we're just going to end it right there. We're running out of time. Really, really appreciate you guys hanging out with us. You know, like I said, we just want to bring you some camp news. Want to give you some sound bites from yesterday. I'm glad we got to do this kind of on the fly. The tweets are still coming in, but I just thought it would be really, really cool to kind of give you guys an update on what was going on. The big takeaways for me, Romeo Doubs is looking good. The edge defenders are looking like they were last year. And an Agbar, maybe is showing that it's going to take some time to develop into the player that we think he can be, or at least the coach staff thinks he can be. So, yeah, just a couple of tidbits. Listen, guys, don't take it too serious. It's training camp, right? But again, we've waited all year for this. I wanted to get here as much as I'm sure you guys are enjoying hearing the updates in a podcast while you're at work or on the go. Believe me, I'm having way more fun just reading it myself because football season's back. I do want to say this. Let's do a plug real quick for the Monday Night Football giveaway. If you guys haven't entered the contest yet, go to my Twitter account @Packers_access. There's going to be a tweet that's pinned at the top of the page. Retweet that tweet and make sure you're following that account. That'll enter you into the contest. We're giving away one indoor club seat to the Packers-Rams Monday Night Football matchup December 19th, $500 in value plus a $75 VIP tailgate party pass where you're going to be indoors, all you can eat, all you can drink 3 hours before the game, watching the late afternoon games before we head over to Lambeau. Your seat will be with us. So you'll be hanging out with some of the PackerNet podcast crew. We're just going to hang out, eat some good food, and watch the Packers and the Rams lock horns, no pun intended. So make sure you get yourself entered into that contest. With that being said, guys, the next date coming up, in my opinion, is Friday night. We got Packers family night. Going to be a lot of fun watching that. Let's see if we can all put our heads together and find a link that we can watch from a distance where we can all kind of tune into that. I know sometimes it's hard for me to find down here in Tennessee, and I've heard other people, had people tweet at me in the past going, hey, man, has anybody got a link to family night? Let's see if we can put our heads together and find that link. If you do find one, tag me in it on Twitter, and we'll share that around and see if we can get everybody tuning into that. But like I said, we got family night Friday night, and we got Packers at the 49ers on the 12th, and we'll be doing a Packers Total Access post-game show for that. We're looking really, really forward to it. So, again, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. We don't take it lightly that you're taking time out of your day to come chill with us. We really appreciate it. As always, let's go out and be the change we want to see in the world, and go Pack, go.
Third down inches to go. 14, Cowboys out in front.